week one, the real week one, we've got about half of the high school football teams in action for the first time this weekend. We're going to talk about it on Prep Sports Now. If you haven't listened before, we're going to get to the picks, which are also posting online, LasVegasSun.com. So check those out. We'll talk about them a little more in depth on the podcast after we knock out a few other topics. The picks where Ray Brewer, my co-host, annually beats me, Case Kiefer, up. But this is Prep Sports Now. We want to remind you that we're brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety, where they ask you to be a zero, buckle up, don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, keep your eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. I always got to think about that one as I mess it up so often. A couple other announcements here from Sun Standout, Las Vegas Sun, Prep Sports Now. Starting next week, we are going to have a Player of the Week honor, name to be determined. Don't have that exactly yet, but we're looking for nominations from coaches if you want to text Ray Brewer. We're also going to do some scouting with our own eyes, but these are more under-the-radar kids. The one rule we have is if you made the Sun Standout All Preseason team, you're not going to win Player of the Week. This is more for guys we noticed during the season or kind of breakout week to week, so we're going to have an award for that. It's going to come with a $50 pizza gift card, I believe, from one of our sponsors.
I believe it's Sammy's Woodfire Pizza. So yep. Pretty good pizza place, $50.
Right next to our office.
Feed you and your family. And it's going to be a good deal. Like we said, we're looking for the under-the-radar kid, hard-nosed players, maybe somebody who made 10 tackles, a guy that is not a household name, so we could get some recognition to some of those underdogs. So if you're text, coach me Sunday night. And we'll write a story about your athlete, give them the gift card, and celebrate their achievements. We're going to do this for the next 11 weeks, and on the 12th week, Case and I are going to go eat Sammy's for lunch.
Right.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I hadn't heard about the format, so we'll go to lunch with the best, the player of the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to have a good team by the end, and then we're going to pick one of the very best.
For our, like, under-the-radar, Bubba, whatever. And we'll take you and your mom, your brother, to Sammy.
Yeah, so look out for that. Just more motivation to eat on Friday night.
Yes!
Friday night eat. One other announcement before we get into it. If you're a coach and listening to this, I know some of you coaches are, will you please email Brewer your roster, ray.brewer@lasvegassun.com. Trying to get all the kids the attention they deserve, get them a player page on lasvegassun.com, and that depends on getting their rosters. So please send those in if you can.
Exactly.
All right, well, only one game last weekend. Bishop Gorman just routes Brophy from Arizona 44-0. Almost messed that up.
You could have put any number in there. Nobody
right. Treated this team like they were Bonanza or Spring Valley or I don't know who the Durango, the teams they beat up on every year. This was pretty crazy to me. As I look back just a couple years ago, and they always had this game at the beginning of the year where the Nevada State champion plays an Arizona team, used to be the state champion. Don't know if that's the case anymore. But you always felt like it was going to be a somewhat competitive game, not one where that one team's just completely overmatched. Did you get the sense this Arizona team is just not that good, or is Gorman just really going to be a juggernaut this year?
Well, I think it's both ways. Gorman showed why it's ranked number one in the nation. They dominated up front, both lines of scrimmage. I think Brophy rushed for something like 50 yards, if that, and Gorman's rushers were all over the place. They had their three running backs each scored a touchdown, five total between those guys, and Gorman just physically manhandled people in the trenches, and that's where I think the game was obviously won. Gorman is great. Brophy, not so much. I think that probably 8 of the 10 teams in our top 10 preseason probably could have beaten Brophy. They weren't that big. They were definitely slow. And Gorman, it's just like, you know, Oklahoma. Oklahoma opens the year with New Mexico State, and they just roll New Mexico State, right?
Right.
It's kind of like Brophy Prep was New Mexico State. Tony Sanchez will kill me because he played for New Mexico State. Maybe a bad example. UTEP, I'm sorry, coach.
Was he a defensive back?
He's a wide receiver.
Oh, we're wide receiver.
Yeah, right. Great story. His high school coach, who I've become friends with over the years, roams the sidelines on game day. And he was cleaning out his room, and he found some pictures of Tony when Tony played at New Mexico State. And that was back in the day where the receivers wore the big old shoulder pads. So he looked like he could play like a modern-day nose tackle with these big old shoulder pads.
I can't even believe, and this is a topic for another time, probably shouldn't go off the deep end too much on this, but the technology advancements just in pads is just insane. I mean, I last played high school football 10 years ago. It's sad now, getting old. But, I think I was looking back at some old pictures or maybe a video with my wife, and she's like, why are your pads so huge? Like, she watches Hard Knocks and stuff now. Like, these guys don't even wear anything, basically. So that is pretty crazy. It's not surprising to think Tony looked like that back in the day. Who was your example, the New Mexico State? Who beat up on them? Oklahoma,
yeah.
Okay. So this is what I think when I see a game like that. Oklahoma is going to come into the season like one of the top three or four teams. They just destroy a okay opponent at the beginning of the year. Then everyone gets really excited, is talking about how they might be the best team in the nation. Then if they're playing someone good the next week, just someone decent, from kind of a prognostication perspective, I'm looking to go against that team. I'm looking to say the hype is going to get to them. This is going to be a lot tougher opponent. And it seems like Gorman might be in that position, going to Servite, who's another national power, good every year, got a great environment at their home games. We're going to get to the picks later. I'm not saying I'm picking Servite, but I think there's a case that can be made after Gorman is just so high on themselves right now. Servite is no walkover.
I like your logic, especially Servite and Gorman are both in the top 15 nationally, virtually every bowl. And Servite's got some real good players. Their quarterback is committed to Oregon, and I hear that they expect more than 20,000 at the game in Southern California. It'll be on Prime Ticket, one of those games of the week before they start the Labor Day weekend, the college football weekend. So we'll see how Gorman responds with a road test against a better opponent. If they play like they did against Brophy Prep, though, they are going to dominate. Some names, Case. I try to do my best, Case Kiefer, looking for players who played good that, you know, on the lines or whatever.
Nominees for the awards, so
nominees
to speak.
Potentially
We'd
for the
love
award.
To get some big hosses, okay. The linemen in there.
Okay. The defensive end, number 16 for Gorman, Garrett Haskell, it says he's a sophomore. He's big, and he made a lot of tackles. I don't have the number, even though the numbers are on Max Prep. Great reporting by me, but he's big, and he made a lot of tackles. And then another sophomore had a punt return that he took about 65 yards. Tajon Lindsey, he's about 5'10", and it was like he got shot out of a cannon, Case. I've been on the field for some college games. I've been on the field when Jay Lloyd, who was probably the best kick returner I've ever covered, when he returned the kick against Palo, and he just accelerated up there. This kid caught the ball, I think, probably the first time he touched the ball for Gorman at like the 10-yard line. And I'm like, oh, fella, don't catch it there. Let it bounce or whatever. And this was at the end of the first half. And then he just shot all the way up the field, outraced everybody, got to the 20, put his head down, and piled over some kid. And it was awesome. So shout out to him. That was a big-time play. He's going to be fun to watch. And I wish I knew the name, and somebody will text me or correct me. But somebody made a block to set him free, and I never noticed blocking because I didn't play football. But whoever had that block gets a helmet sticker, because that was like a great block to get this kid in the wide-open field. And when you're going to like a Servite or some of these other games Gorman's going to play, you got to make those little plays. You missed the game. I covered it, obviously. 5,000 people there, sold out. It was an awesome environment. The G Block was back. They were rocking in these bright old orange shirts. Snoop Dogg was there.
I kind of got distracted when you were talking, as I was looking at your story, and this photo of Snoop Dogg walking on the field with a Gorman Dad t-shirt is just exceptional.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And shout out to Ellie Basco.
Yeah, and it wasn't like Snoop Dogg was like drawing attention. He was sitting in the sixth row or whatever with his family. But I will tell you who I ran into after the game. Flavor Flav. Have you heard of that guy?
Of course.
I have no idea what he sings, but I'm with our friends at Channel 3 trying to get some post-game, and they want to interview Alizé, so I'm trying to go find Alizé, and the field is just packed with people, right? Mm-hmm. And so I walk, and I run into this huge crowd, and I look up, and it's Favor Flav talking to Cordell Brodus, Snoop Dogg's son. And I don't know if the families are friends or if whatever it is, or if Favor Flav's trying to kiss up to Snoop Dogg. But
I mean, Flavor Flav has done enough on his own. He's a member of Public Enemy. Come on.
I have no idea. I don't know who Public Enemy is.
All right.
Gin and juice, money on my mind. That's all I
gin and juice, that is the jam, for
that
sure.
That is. That's I knew it. That.
All right.
Anyways, enough with the music.
Celebrity culture going on at Gorman. That's pretty crazy. I like how you pointed out, let's get the name of the kid that gets the helmet sticker, although I don't think Gorman has helmet stickers.
I don't think they do.
They have
either.
Too many helmets.
Do you know who's do you know who it was?
No, I was saying, I was telling listeners.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Give us a name so we can give a shout out to that kid.
Block of the day.
Yeah, I mean, Gorman would have to print way too many stickers for all the helmets they had.
Let me give you some other names. Last week, the kid Bolden, still can't say his first name, but his nickname is Bubba. So Bubba Bolden, he's the real deal. Fertitta looked awesome. Fumble on the first play. Big hit later in the game. Another hit behind the line of scrimmage. He played with a lot of emotion. He looked awesome at safety. Nelith Otukola, always going to say that last name wrong. I'm glad he's a fan of the show.
I think you're getting closer.
I'm trying with the names, but a lot of hard hitting, man. Gorman's defense came to put a hat on you, and it was fun. And Pharrell Hester looks like he's going to be a beast at linebacker. It is what it is. On to Servite.
All right.
We'll see.
I thought we had to touch on the other defending state champions first.
Reed?
This wasn't the only football going on this weekend. As Gorman, there was also some scrimmages. Correct. And the big news from the scrimmages was Faith Lutheran looked like the Division 1A Gorman, from what I've been told.
And from the two emails and one text message I received, and confirmed by Tua's dad, who knows everything, is that Faith Lutheran took it to Moapa Valley. And we knew Moapa's weakness would be a lack of linemen and the size of the linemen. And we know Faith, one of its strengths, is Big John Malakon up front. But apparently Faith looked great. They ran over Moapa, and they looked ready in the scrimmage. And it looks like they're the leaders in the clubhouse, the defending state champions. Come and get them. They're eating, baby.
Yeah, so Faith Lutheran, maybe we did them a little bit of disservice. Neither of us picked them to win the state championship on our first podcast. We're both high on them. We think they'll be good, but they had to replace a lot of skill guys. And I think it's kind of a fault of just about anyone who follows and watches football that, you know, if you lose some of those guys that ate up the yards, you think it's going to be a little bit of a setback.
And defensively, they lost all their key defenders.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, the reason I liked Faith last year, we debated about on the show, was I thought it looked like they had a really good program infrastructure there, great coach, and, you know, it seemed like he assembled a really good staff. He got the coach before, Jacob Cody, to stay on the staff. It seemed like they had a good setup there. So maybe, I mean, you're developing talent. Even those guys that weren't on the field all the time last year learned something, got stronger, and maybe Faith Lutheran is the rightful favorite. Neither of us coined them as that. But I guess the other question is that we promised we would get to is how much do you put into these scrimmages? Is this, do we now say Faith Lutheran is the team to beat because of what they did, or do you take this, I hate cliches, but I can't think of another way to say it right now. Do you take it with a grain of salt that Faith Lutheran was so good this weekend?
Well, and see, that's the thing. How much do you show at the scrimmages, and how many reps do you get to your second and third teams? And I know they try to pair it up where the twos go against the twos or what have you, but if I'm a coach, I'm trying to keep pretty manila on my plans because I don't want everybody else to see what I'm running, right? So this is just the more of an opportunity to tackle someone else and line up against someone else. So I don't know how much stock I put into, you know, passing leagues because they have no line. Summer camps because, again, you're playing your twos and your threes and you have some kids that might not make it. And then the scrimmages because you don't know the situation. Maybe Moapa, for whatever it's worth, was playing its twos against the ones, or they're still trying to figure out who the ones and the twos are. So I'm not sure. You played. What do you think?
Rep. Was that pun intended with the reps? Every single year, there's like two reps on Moapa Valley, last name. Anyways.
Yes, that was good.
I'm in between on this. I think you don't want to go too far and say, you know, this team's not going to lose all year. But from experience, it kind of makes me think that these scrimmages mean something. As soon as you brought up this topic, a couple of ones came to mind. It seems like every year there's a team people are raving about after these scrimmages, and usually it pans out to be pretty true. I remember the first few years I was here, there was always a question of, like, when is Arborview going to break out? When are they finally going to have this year that we always hear they're going to? Then one year, all of a sudden, everyone's talking about how great they were in the scrimmages, and lo and behold, that's the year they go, like, 10-2 and seem to become the power that they've become now.
Do you remember the controversy of 3 years ago, Arborview Liberty scrimmage?
Oh, we still talk about it, like, every
Arborview
other week.
Arborview thought they concussed a few Liberty players. Liberty was all fired up. They thought they won. Arborview thought it won. It was fun.
Yeah, but still, I got that report on Arborview, and it turned out to be true. Another one I thought about was we typically look at Boulder City as like an average to maybe mediocre team some years. I don't think they've had many winning records. But one year, I think it was 2 years ago, everyone's saying, man, this team looked great in the scrimmages. They beat up on some bigger schools. And then that was the year they had by far the best year they've had since I've been here. I mean, they're like 8-3, 9-3. So there's just some examples where it seems like if a team looks that good, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, it is a bottom line, I guess, is you're 6 days away from a real game, so you're going to put your guys out there.
The passing leagues are something different entirely. No, they're more over the summer, and I played in a few of those, and at least if it's like when I played, it was like on a day-to-day basis, you didn't know who was going to show up. Like, oh, Johnny might have to work, have his shift at the sub shop is going a few hours later this week.
Yeah,
or what's his name got his car stuck going mudding or something. Just I'm trying to think of something ridiculous. This is from the Midwest.
Yeah.
The passing leagues I put a little bit less stock in, but I guess we'll see this year. The reports are Coronado was great at the passing leagues. I think
they were. They won the UNLV.
Wrote about that in my Coronado preview, which hopefully will be running sometime soon.
Let me ask you this. Say the last name of Mark. Is it for Faith? Mark Rubalakaba?
Rubalakaba, probably.
I heard that
it's not
kid
in front of me. But
yeah, he's going to be the force offensively. I hear he's eating, as we like to say. He's the guy. He's ready to go. And listen, Faith has a lot to prove. Okay, you could be a one-hit wonder, or you could make it a consistent every-year thing. And I think Faith is out to prove that the 11- or 12-game winning streak it had to close the season was no joke.
Fair enough. I'm not jumping off my pick. I'm still picking Moapa.
So am I.
We're only a couple years away from when Moapa just smashed them by 30 points. Maybe the talent's a lot different now, but I'm kind of offended. I've championed Moapa probably more than anyone over the last several years, and you're telling me people are calling me out on Twitter saying that I don't have any faith in Moapa? I picked you to win the state championship every year. Come on now.
I saw four kids from Moapa at the Gorman game, and they were chomping at the bit to get at you. And an assistant coach. Like, is Kiefer here?
Do I just not pick you by enough points every week? I pick you every week. I never think you're going to lose.
Listen, don't get stranded on near Vegas High School either, because you might have a hard time getting home.
Yeah, Vegas is a different story.
They're done. They don't want
criticism deserved.
Let's get the first installment of our picks, my friend. Again, our show is brought to you by the Department of Public Safety. They remind you don't text and drive. Buckle up. The whole nine yards. If you have a player that you think deserves our Player of the Week award, let me know on Sunday. We will get them honored. Certificate, gift card to a pizza place, and a store on LasVegasSun.com. And to mention right here on the podcast, Case, week one, a lot of great games this week, brother. A lot of coin flips, and we will start with the picks. Go ahead, my friend.
All right, well, first of all, Las Vegas is on a bye week this week, so everyone in Las Vegas is like, when are you not going to pick against us? I'm not picking against you this week.
First time.
I think you're going to beat the bye week.
Yes.
First game, Coronado is traveling to Huntington Beach. Very interesting assignment. Seems like there might be some turmoil going on at Coronado. Don't really know what's going on, but I don't like that going into the season.
I don't like that either. I tried to do some research on Huntington Beach, and it kind of looks like a Coronado of Southern California.
We got to get those kids out of the water. Surf. It's like the surfing capital of the world.
I know.
Is the coach running down to the bay and being like, get out, get off your surfboards, come to practice.
Yeah. Bottom line is that, with the exception being Gorman, Vegas teams in California don't do well. When in doubt, pick Cali. I'm going Huntington Beach. Sorry, Cougs. Give me Huntington Beach.
The Oilers.
Oilers. The Oilers.
I think the Oilers win by a couple touchdowns here. That passing league does not going to translate to success right away for Coronado, but I do think they'll be a tough out. come state time.
Playoff time, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Rancho at Calabasas, another Nevada at California. I'm going to venture to say that this one is a little more lopsided. Rancho, it's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough. You're right. Rancho's on a 21-game losing streak, playing an independent schedule this year so it could develop its program. Nice reward for the kids going to Calabasas. I will tell you, Rancho, poor school, Calabasas, super, super rich school. Not that that matters once the ball's hiked, but I'll take Calabasas, who is coached by a former Tennessee quarterback who I can't remember.
We're waiting for Rancho to shock the world next week in the bone game.
If you pick Rancho to beat Vegas in the bone game, it was like one year when Steve Silver used to do the picks. He hated Moapa Valley inversion, so we picked 1-0 one year for the final.
I remember. Game. That's just not in my blood. I couldn't do that.
Classy but. Steve. Okay. Next game, Gorman at Servite.
Wow, this is a tough one. I kind of made a little bit of a case for Servite, but I didn't see the game. But from what I read and what I can gather, Gorman just did a little too much. I'm not going to pick against that running attack right now. I'm not going to pick against that defense where you pretty much listed every guy as a standout. I think maybe it's close in the first half, and Gorman pulls away at the end.
Yeah, I was at the Gorman-Servite game 2 years ago, Solomon's senior year, and Gorman beat them by a running clock, and I felt cheated because I made the drive in what I thought would be a good game. Obviously, Servite is a little better, but I think if Gorman smacks him in the mouth early, the players on Servite might remember that beating. But know this case, that every team Gorman plays is going to be out to dethrone the number one ranked team in the nation. Quick question for you, my friend. Do you know who Bobby Kennedy is?
Yes.
Not the president.
Okay.
Or the senator. Do you know who Bobby Kennedy on Gorman's roster is?
No. I thought you meant one of the Kennedys. Okay. No, I don't.
He's the punter. No, he's the backup punter. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I can't read well. Gage Wilson is the punter. He's also the kicker. But how would you like to be the backup punter? Gorman punts like, what, once every month?
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
Senior, too.
Yeah, senior. Well, I could have sold that story on the Kennedy kid, even though I read it wrong. Gage Wilson, who, by the way, the Gorman kicker, hit a 37-yard field goal, and he's got an offer from Yale.
Wow.
People that go to Yale do well in life.
Servite, though, has got some guys going to Oregon.
I know. They're good.
USC.
I know.
It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy.
This is not going to be a cakewalk. The Gorman defense is going to be tested.
What's this kid Travis Waller is going to Oregon? Is he their quarterback?
He's the quarterback,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I think your score is just out of whack now from what I've just looked up about Servite.
42-19.
No way. Is this our $5 bet of the week? What's the line?
Give me 18.5 points. I'll take it. Gorman
okay,
minus 18.
I'll take plus 18.5.
All right, Gorman
already
minus
betting
18.
Against Gorman. Now Gorman can 18.5.
Oh my God!
I got Servite plus 18.5.
All right,
I do
let me
think
write
Gorman's
it down. Let me write
win.
It down. Minus 18. And I'm sorry, Bobby Kennedy. I didn't realize you were the backup hunter.
All right. Well, shout out to Bobby Kennedy.
Yes.
Not of the.
What if he had that block in the punt game?
That would be pretty impressive. It was the punter that had that block.
Well, no, this is when they were returning the punt.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Still pretty impressive
yeah.
if it was
Do you remember when you were a kid and it would be like third down and some coach on the sideline would be like, punt team, get ready.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think Gorman does that on third down?
They have because okay. The last Gorman game I went to, I remember I'd be on the sidelines and the game was like 35-0 or something. Mm-hmm. There's no way the team was coming back. It was like 4th-and-1 at the 49.
Okay.
If I'm a high school coach, I'm going for it every single time. And I can remember them assembling the
well, yeah, because you don't want to run up the
yeah,
score.
No, it's because
yeah.
they don't want to run up the score.
Because I tried to figure out how many times has Gorman punted, which is on Max Preps, in the last, whatever, the Sanchez era, right?
Well, I've seen one of them. I remember for sure.
Okay.
They might have been playing Arbor View.
Well, I know the Palo game in 2010, they punted a bunch of times.
Yeah.
But how many times do you think Gorman's gone 3-and-out in the Sanchez era?
Not very many.
Not very many. Yeah. Okay, next game, baby.
The Cleat game, El Dorado and Chaparral. Maybe I just have gotten a little bit too fired up the time we had the media day here listening to Vernon Brown, but he's a fiery guy. He seems sold that this team is one of his best teams in the last few years, that they're going to bounce back this year. That being said, I just got a better impression from them than Chaparral. Joshua Brown is back again. I'm picking El Dorado.
I agree with you. I got a better impression of them as well. I went to Chap. This kills me, but I think Josh Brown will be the best player in the field. I will say last year, Vernon Brown had me sold as well, and they won one game. So be careful. I just think that El Dorado's a little ahead of Chaparral. Hopefully they don't dance too hard on the field at Chap. I love that place. I got orange and black in my veins.
And this game last year really left a bad taste in their mouth. They've been chomping to get back at it because I think Chaparral scored in like the last 30 seconds to win.
Yeah.
So, El Dorado.
Next game. This game actually gave me some thought. Like I said, a lot of these games were hard. This was probably the toughest one. Pahrump hosts Bonanza. Bowtown at Pahrump Valley.
I don't know too much about either of these teams.
Neither do I, but
I know Pahrump Valley's got a lot of returners, right?
I know they got like 19 returners, and I know Gasoline Joe says that they're going to be good. Or that they're going to be better. They're going to shock the world. So that's good enough for me. Bonanza having to travel to Pahrump won't be fun. I'll take the Trojans. And our intern went to Pahrump Valley. What else do you want, Case?
Our intern went to Pahrump.
The girl that sits next to Fritz.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Bonanza just because I think it's a coin flip. This is some good week one memories. Because, you know, maybe the most surprise I'd ever heard you was 3 years ago. I'm just looking it up now, when Bonanza beat Silverado in week one.
Oh, my God, the disaster.
We thought Silverado was going to be great that year, and Bonanza was not going to be much. It turned out to be the opposite way around. Bonanza went like 7-3. So there's
Javion Taylor, the Jet, right? Where he was supposed to be the truth.
So there's my great analysis. Bonanza is good on week one. Okay. I'm taking the Bengals.
All right, arguably the game of the week, Palo at Centennial. No love lost between the two schools, obviously. Old Northwest rivals. Two great programs, two respected coaches, ton of good players on both sides. I just love Grayson Vereen, Jaron Campbell, and the Palo Panthers. I think Palo right now is ahead of Centennial. I don't know how Centennial is going to score, even though I hear they have a good tailback. And I think Centennial, when it's all said and done at the end of the year, might be better because you're a lot different in Week 10 than you are in Week 1. But I think right now the Panthers are winning the game.
Yeah, I got to agree 100%. I just think Centennial's not quite there yet, where Palo Verde's starting at a very high level. So I think we're both picking Palo. The next game, the Desert Bowl, Pines at Oasis.
Don't know what to think of this one. This was another game. You know, Marcus Sherman comes over to DO from Valley. It's tough to get a read on him because I know the guy's a good coach, but he hasn't had much to work with at Valley. Now he's got some kids that he could put in some spots. We'll see how he does. DP lost its top four players offensively last year, but I've been over there a few times in the offseason. I love what Tico's doing, and I got to take DP because they're kind of like my Vegas of the Division 1A. I can't see anything wrong.
Yeah, two well-coached teams here. I've always wanted to see what Marcus Sherman would do with maybe a few more resources. He's got that at Desert Oasis.
And he's a great dude, man.
Yeah,
what a
really
great guy.
Really great guy to talk to. Hopefully, if they win some games, we can talk to him on the phone on Friday nights a few
we
more
We talk
times.
Twice a year usually. Yeah.
But I think Tico's also a great coach, has more of his system in place over there. I got to lean Desert Pines in a close game.
And I really think those kids from DP really come to play.
Yeah.
They're gamers. DP, are you with me?
You got me sold. The Jaguars. Over to Marcus Sherman's previous school, Valley. They're opening the season by hosting Del Sol.
I'd say put a mirror up, and these two teams are exactly the same. They're 2 miles apart from each other, going through some of the same problems. Del Sol couldn't stop a nosebleed last year. I know they're quick, or at least they appear to be quick, and I know they got some good linemen. I especially like Olivas up front. Valley, we literally don't know much about him. First-year coach Dave Durham, he wrote down two players on their player-to-watch sheet, but yet I got him winning the game. I don't know if the Del Sol defense is up to par, and I think you know why.
I got to learn some more about these teams. I don't know too much, but just based on last year, I think I would pick Valley in this game, so I'm going to go Valley again.
All right, Liberty at Basic, which I initially thought was going to be our $5 bet of the day.
Let's take another one because this is totally outrageous, and I like Basic, but you have Liberty winning by 8 points.
I kind of
– I always hate on Vegas. You don't get called out as much for hating on Liberty, in my opinion.
No, I love Liberty.
When's the last time they
lost? I get called out for hating on Basic.
That's true. You do get called out for hating on Basic, but Liberty hasn't lost a Sunrise game, and you can find it in my story for the exact numbers. And something like 35 games or something like that. You've picked against them at least five times in that span.
I'm picking them to win.
This is basically picking against them by picking them to lose by 8 to Basic.
Listen to me, Sensei. Okay, Basic doesn't return much at all, and they lost their best player from last year, Antre Johnson. Liberty returns, you know, Brian Rowland, Calvin Tubbs, Big Noah Jefferson, three legit D1 kids, Ethan Tuilagi. Liberty's good, bro. They're the leader in the clubhouse to win the Sunrise. But, my friend, but they don't have a quarterback. They have a quarterback. They got three of them. You know what that means?
Here comes the cliche.
You know what they mean? If you got three, you ain't got one.
We don't know who it's going to be starting yet either.
No clue.
I think it's going to be the freshman, and he's going to be awesome.
He's awesome. I've seen him develop. I know the kid well. But he's a freshman. First game under the Friday night lights, a little hot outside. You get hit in the mouth by a 17-year-old with facial hair. What happens? I'm just saying that
he's a gamer. He's gonna feed off of that.
Liberty wins the first. Liberty wins at Basic. You and I agree. But Liberty ain't going to win by running clock. This game's going to be close.
What do you want, 22 and a half?
22 and a half. I'll take it, baby.
All right. That way now I have one big favorite and one big dog, and you have one big favorite and one big dog. I got Liberty and Servite. These are going to be the bets this week. Brewers got Gorman minus 18 and a half and Basic plus 22 and a half.
Do you take checks? Because I'm going to have to get a check to you.
We would just settle at the end of the year.
Carla's going to be pissed at me.
We can settle at the Sun Standout
pizza parlor.
Pizza party with the player of the year.
Could you imagine you and me eating pizza with somebody? The poor kid wouldn't get a slice. I love pizza. Okay.
No, we're going to make sure they have enough at this Sun Standout player of the year at the end of the year pizza party. Next game is Spring Valley at Moapa Valley. I think Spring Valley could do some good things this year. They've really been wanting to get down to the Division 1A. They've got some good kids on top. I think depth is the problem. Moapa Valley, though, doesn't have many problems at all. I think Spring Valley shows that they're going to be tough by keeping this game close, but Moapa will win, especially with it being in Overton.
Spring Valley, to its credit, has a lot of experienced players. What they're not experienced in is the travel in the lower division. Get on the bus, travel to Overton, let me know how it is. You got to bring snacks. You got to be ready to go. You got to keep the kids focused for the ride. It's the part of playing in that lower age group. It takes even the best teams a while to get used to it. Remember, last year, DP went to Pahrump and struggled.
Right.
At Pahrump, why?
Travel. Road
next
team.
Game. I got the Pirates, though.
I hate those bus snacks for high school football. Way too healthy of snacks.
Yeah.
Be like fruit snacks and stuff.
Power bar.
Road trip. Yeah.
Apple wedges. And some raisins.
It's like, can you give me some boneless wings or a slice of pizza?
No, you can't.
I don't like that part. All right, Virgin Valley at Western. Our boy, the coach of Virgin Valley, Yuri Ludvigsen, maybe the most animated coach.
God, he's great.
Southern Nevada.
He could sit in here and do our podcast. We would just have to have him on a little bit of a delay just in case.
This is an open invite. If he's in Vegas on a Monday afternoon, Yuri, please be on our podcast with us. I think you would be
he's a riot.
Outstanding. I think Virgin just destroys Western.
I can't disagree with you.
All right. Sierra Vista at Sunrise Mountain. Pretty interesting game. You got to think Sunrise Mountain's going to be better under Chris Sawyers. But Sierra Vista, year three under Foss, right?
Two.
Year two?
Year
okay.
two.
Well, they showed some improvements in the first year. So I'm going to go Sierra Vista.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Malik Brody is going to lead the world in rushing after this game. It's a man against boys.
All right.
Get the car started. Here's another good game, folks.
Yeah,
I had no
good
idea.
Good game after good game. Clark at Boulder City. You're the one selling me on the travel's tough and everything like that. Clark does have Tyreek Wells. They have some other good pieces, but it's not easy traveling up to
Boulder City.
Milan Dixon.
Come on,
sure.
Bro. You're not picking Boulder City.
I'm picking Boulder City. I'll go with the Eagles.
Oh, my God. Here's the deal. I think Clark, first of all, maybe I like Clark a little too much. I think Clark has two elite players, Wells and Dixon, and I think they get the job done at Boulder. I think this is an evenly matched game. I know BC promises to throw the ball more. I know they love to prove me wrong, but I just don't think they could control the Cadillac and the Ferrari of Dixon and Wells. Next game.
Cheyenne Boom. At Cimarron. I'm probably going to lose this one, but I'm just not picking Cimarron. I don't know anything about
it. I don't know anything. I don't even know if they got a team. I mean, Chi-Town is still young. They had all those sophomores. By the way, the quarterbacks of Cheyenne, I totally botched his last name last week, and I apologize to AJ. Good kid. I know the family, and I apologize. I think Cheyenne's going to be good in the long run. I just think that Cimarron is in the upper league, and give me the Spartans.
Cheyenne had, like, a worst ever year last year. They were 2-8, and they still almost beat Cimarron, 19-12 loss. I think they're going to be fired up going into this game. I have got Cheyenne. Faith Lutheran at Shelley High is the next game. Faith Lutheran's only loss, I believe, last year was week one. They played an out-of-state opponent.
And this game is at Idaho State. Okay. Part of that challenge. Shelley is a 9-time Idaho State champion. They've won the last two Idaho titles in a row. With that said, Case, I think they got a lot to replace. I think Faith Lutheran is on a mission. I think they travel up to Idaho. And I can't believe I'm saying this because this is totally goes against every philosophy I have. But I think Faith is the real deal. They bring the Nevada flag. They stick it in the ground. And they get a huge win against a good Idaho opponent.
All right, trivia question. What is a russet?
No clue. It's a potato, isn't it? Russet potatoes,
That's their nickname.
That's it. Idaho is known for potatoes, yes.
I'm taking the russets. I mean, how do you pick against a team called the russets?
Well, now you got to find their logo, too.
Yeah,
it might
that's
be
true.
Anything. Go ahead.
Russet and Faith Lutheran, I mean, two teams that I think are going to be the best in their state this year, are among the best, but having to go to Idaho seems unfair. I'm going with the russets. Mojave at Skyview will finish us off. Another team going up to Idaho. I'm going to go a 2-0 sweep for the Potato State. I think Skyview is going to be ready for Mojave.
Mojave, obviously a contender in the Division 1A this year. Ty Flanagan, great tailback. Zach RV, the quarterback.
As Taylor Byrne said, taking the RV all the way to state.
Unfortunately, the RV gets a flat tire on the way to Idaho. Listen, I don't care how good Mojave's going to be. They have never done this before, traveling to Idaho. This is going to be an eye-opening experience. Lose the game, get better, come back home for that Faith Lutheran game the third week of September.
Skyview, a little bit more boring. I think they're just the Bobcats.
The Bobcats.
Or no, they're the Hawks.
Same thing.
Yeah, whatever. No difference. Thanks a lot for listening. Prep Sports Now. Send in your rosters to Brewer, radarbrewer@lasvegassun.com. Send in your nominations for Las Vegas Sun Player of the Week. And one more note.
If you win this week in your high school football game, please expect Case and I to call, and please have your stats ready. Thank you.
See you next week on Prep Sports Now.